I want to talk to you about the title of it will be Build the Shield. Now, the first mention of the shield was given to Abraham in Genesis 15. It's the first time it was mentioned. God mentioned this concept of being our shield. But I'm going to get into this more in depth, how to build it around your life. And Genesis 15, he said, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and your exceeding great reward. Now, there's a natural shield that God's going to put on every believer. There'll be a certain amount of protection. But in these days, you really, really want to build, especially when you start walking in the depths of God, you need an extraordinary shield around you. How many of you encounter a lot of warfare? I hear it all the time. Go and do this, go and do that, go and do this. So what I'm trying to say is warfare is always going to be there. If you don't deal with warfare in a specific manner, it'll just wear you down. And we're not called just to put up with the enemy, but what we need to do is take the strength, the energy, the focus God's given us and build a literal shield around our life. You can build that. It's buildable. Eternal heavens made without hands. So the house we're building is not made with our hands, but it is made. It's just not made with our hands. It's more made with the words of our mouth. It's made with what we see. It's made with awareness. It's made by faith. Paul said, Ephesians 6, he says, taking the shield of faith. The way we build a shield is we build it by faith and we implement that. But when you do this, you can build a shield around your body. I started doing this quite a long time ago. You build this around your body. You can build it around your emotions. You can build it around your mind. You can build it around your finances. You can build it around your children, your home. When the Bible says a house, what does a house mean to you? Well, or a tent. In those days, the sun would bake you without a tent. A house is your refuge. The house is the place of protection. Imagine living life without a house or a covering. You'd be sitting out in the elements. A house is what shields you from the elements of the world. It's your home, your refuge, your peace, your safety. It's the same way with God. It's just an unseen house. But in order for you to build it, you're going to have to learn to see it. I'm going to teach you how to see today. You have to see, but stop learning to see with these eyes and start learning to see with the eye of faith. And it's buildable. And not only is it buildable, the more you do it, the more it will encompass and surround you. There are operations or elements to the house that you need to understand, and it can be built. It takes time. You'll have to put effort in. You do it during your prayer time, but it will far outweigh the time you're putting in by shielding you from future assignments of the enemy. Listen, the enemy is going to come because that's what he does. You're in his battleground. The earth is his battleground. There is an escape from circumstance. We know how to do that because we move in the right hand of God, but I can't live in that realm 24/7. Unfortunately, I have to come back here. And one of the things that always, I don't want to use the word plague, but always irritated me really, that truthfully, is I could get up in the glory. I can exchange. I can get it in the realm of peace. I can get everything shielded, awesome, glory, power, but I didn't come back here. And when I come back here, it's always the same when I come back. Now, I'm going to be empowered for a little bit when I come back. I'm going to be empowered with faith, but I'm eventually going to get back to who I am in the most part of the day. And that part of our lives is what we need to build a shield around. I'm not talking about the shield in heaven. I'm talking about the one here. I want you to learn how to build a refuge, a fortress around your life. Every great man of God, when you have the anointing on your life, it is a must to do this because the enemy will never stop messing with you if you've got anointing on your life. He's just not going to. And the higher that anointing, the more he's going to mess. So why not build a shield with it? Do you remember when the Lord was in the garden and the soldiers came out and Peter drew his sword? He cut the ear off of the guy, and the Lord, I mean, right there, I would have gotten saved if I was a Roman soldier. He grabs the ear, slaps it back on the Roman soldier's head, And I mean, that's a pretty creative miracle right there. Grab the ear, slap it back on. He's healed. And then he says, Peter, put your sword, sheath it. He goes, they that live by the sword, die by the sword. If that's going to be your defense, you're going to live and die by that defense. But he said, can I not now presently call upon from my father 12 legions of angels to deliver me right now? Imagine that kind of operation with God, that you're in the midst of people who want to kill you. Notice the Lord, every time he was in a situation, remember when he declared the anointing on his life, they took him to the brow of the hill. They were going to throw him off the hill. The very people he grew up with in Nazareth, that religious spirit will turn so fast, that loves you one day, the next day they want to kill you. They took him to the brow of the hill and they were going to throw him off the hill, and he passed right through them. How did he do that? He did that because he was supernaturally shielded by God. The shield can make you invisible to the people who want to kill you. The shield can shield you from words, violence. It can shield you from so many assignments, seen and unseen. Don't wait for the assignment to build the shield, because you're already under the influence of the enemy at that point. And when you're under the influence, it's hard to operate when you're already under the enemy's. Build it while you're not under his influence, and you'll have it when you need it. Praise God. I remember in the scripture, when the devil came to God and he was actually accusing Job. He wanted to sift him. He said, but you have a hedge around him and I can't touch him. That's what the devil said. I can't touch him. And you're blessed all that he does, and I can't touch anything he has. Imagine, he couldn't touch his livestock, couldn't touch him. Now, I'm not getting the reason why God did all that, but I'm just telling you, there was a hedge around him. It was around his finances, it was around his family, it was around his livestock, his cattle, his heart, mind, and the devil wanted. But there was a shield around him. I mean, it was like beam me up Scotty kind of shield, Star Trek kind of thing. How much shield we got? If you're under an extreme amount of warfare all the time, and the enemy is constantly breaking into your mind, your emotions, you have a shield issue. Now, let me say this first, because God said, I am your exceeding great and precious shield. He tells Peter, if you're going to live by this sword, you're going to die by it. What if you live by your own self-protection mechanisms, you also reap from those self-protection mechanisms. I learned a long time ago, I was forced to be a very defensive person from my childhood, so I built, well, I didn't build it, but some spirits got in and they built it. A lot of things what you think is you is not you, because when you go through traumatic events in childhood, spirits will come and build defense mechanisms. You become very defensive. They can build isolation where you just isolate from the world, or they can build personalities that deal with the world. But the real you is the one God's shielding. But if you shield yourself, if you defend yourself, what happens is that causes a weakening of God's shield, because you're putting trust in your own self and not his. That's why you have to learn to surrender. We have to go through a process where we release our own protection mechanism so God can become our exceeding great shield. Amen? Because if I'm going to live by the sword of my own defense, I have to reap by the sword. But if I live by his defense, amen, I get to reap a supernatural shield around my life. It can be built around your emotions where you need it, your mind. If the enemy is assaulting your mind and you're going through things, sometimes you feel like you're absolutely going to lose it. He has got an open door in that realm. And when he gets in the mind, he gets in the emotions. When he gets those two, he can just twist you up. What you need to do is build the shield I'm speaking of today. The shield, David saw it like, when you read the Psalms, you'll read how he understood God. He called him, he actually said, you're my shield. He constantly said it in Psalms. He said, you're my strong tower. Notice how David, he was a king. He could have shielded himself, but he learned to shift that shield to God, because he found out God's shield was a lot bigger than his. He said, you're my fortress in whom I hide. You're my shield. You're my buckler. You're my strong tower. He's not just saying that. This was imagery of his day he's using. He's seeing that imagery, but he's seeing God becoming that fortress, that walled up city around him, that tower around him. You're my strong tower, my buckler, my shield. And he would say that. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. He would see me. You cover me in the shadow of your wings. What that did is he's bringing himself in a place of humility as a, like a newborn. This morning I noticed we have our mama squirrel. She has babies season after season. She likes to nest at our house. So she has this baby and they fell out of the nest because they're running around and the mom's trying to get him up the pole and the pole is too slick and that thing was just running around. He slammed himself in the door. So I went and built him a pathway up this morning so the baby could get up to her nest. And so I went and built a pathway, and the mom knew exactly what I was doing. She was running up quick, follow me, follow me. And so he got up there and got back in his nest, and he's feeling his shield, see? You got to get in your shield. When you fall out of the nest, you got to get in your shield. We find our exceeding great shield. So David saw that. He could feel that. So when you're building a shield, you build it with words. The way we build, we build a house made without hands. It's made with your words. Say words. It's made with imagery that's already provided to you in the Word of God. It's made by awareness, and it's also made by angelic hosts. The angelic hosts will be the greatest shield ever. When you see and hear us do this on Tuesday, I do this every day, and I'm doing it more because the Lord said, can I not call on 12 legions of angels? I'm seeing those. What I'm looking at was when that army came out against Elisha and the servant, woke up and saw the army of the Lord's. Elisha, we're in trouble. And Elisha woke up and goes, Lord, open his eyes. I'll go back to sleep. And when he opened the eyes of his servant, it said the chariots covered the entire mountain. The chariots of God had covered. He said, he that with us is far greater than he's against us. Open his eyes. See, Elisha knew he could see. Now he could, because it was a prophetic operation, he could actually see them. But we can see too. We just see by the way of the word. We see by way of promise. We see, the Bible says, our God cometh with fire. His chariots as a, what? Whirlwind. And the one I like to use the most is the plumb line, because we're living in the day of the plumb line. The one that originally Jacob encountered when the angels were ascending and descending. He goes, this must be the house. When you hear house of God, yes, it's a habitation of God's presence, but it's also your house of refuge. It's where you go and hide here in the earth. You can build it there, but you can also, the Lord told me, he said, you can build it here. He goes, build my house here. I have a house for you to live in here. Not just a natural home, but a spiritual one that will shield you from the elements of a spiritual realm you can't see, of an enemy you can't see, but he shows himself often. Building it around your heart, mind, building glory. I like to see the plumb line. I do this every single day of my life. And it's becoming so amazing because it's starting to build here. It's starting to show up here now where we need it. I already know God's taking us in right into the camp of the enemy. I know what he's called. I step into that camp. I've stepped in places that I didn't belong. And that's another thing. Don't go stepping where you don't belong. You'll encounter warfare that wasn't for you. I remember a friend of mine asked me to pray over him. And he said, can you come over and pray? I said, I don't need to come over. Just give me your address. And I looked it up on Google and I just went down. I said, let's see, I needed an image. So I Googled up and down. You know, Google lets you zoom right in. It's a perfect tool. I would zoom in and out because that's what I'm going to do. I said, give me permission to stand over your house. He goes, that's a given. I said, say it. And so I went and stood in the spirit over that house. I just stood by faith that same thing. And I began to do the shield around his house. Oh, I say, Father, I thank you. The chariots of fire surround him this day. The glory in the midst. You're a wall. See, those are images. The wall of fire. ministering flames of fire. I could see that cylinder wall over his home, and then I decreed breakthrough, and I decreed freedom, and I decreed, and I dealt with the spirit of witchcraft that was in his house, and all of a sudden his wife falls out where she's at while I'm praying. She falls out in the spirit, and the next day he goes, man, it's gone. It's gone. It's so awesome. He got to where he called me. I'm like, I told him, look, I'm not doing this for you all. You're going to learn how to do this. I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this for my house. But the Lord's teaching me because he knows that we're going to go right into the camp of the enemy. I already know where we're going. We are going to step into some, we're already stepping into it. We step right in. When you step into the camp of the enemy, it's awesome and glorious, but you also better know that that normally nobody goes into that territory. He's coming back. I already know that. So God's building a supernatural shield to deal with whatever he's coming back with. Building around our children. Let me say this. This same guy, he was so excited about it. One day, I got the anointing. So he says, I need you to do me a favor. He goes, there's a really important lady. She lives in Africa. But she's under serious witchcraft. And I know you know how to deal with this. And he said, I need you to go do the same thing. I said, oh, let's go. I told her, give me the address, got her on the phone, give me permission, is this your house, can I stand over it in the spirit? And she said, yes, 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 yes. I said, all right, I go and do it. Whew, the glory of God, see, the anointing will work. But I wasn't operating in wisdom, and I was just, I didn't know who this lady was. Man, after we did that, she got freed. Man, the next day, I had warfare come at me like, three straight days we were witchcraft was around my home. I'm like, what is going on? The Lord said, don't ever do that without asking me. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. There are sanctioned places you can operate. Your house is your home. You have authority. You don't even need to ask God about this. This house, I can do it. I don't need to ask God about that. The fields he's assigned me to stand in, I don't need to ask him about that. But if anything else, I need to ask about, because just because you can doesn't mean you should. Because you will get up into somebody's warfare that doesn't belong to you. I got all her stuff reassigned to me for three straight days. I'm not doing that again. Because I got enough battles. I don't need yours too. Amen. Don't warrant unwelcome battles. Amen. Just because you get, when I say stand over, because I ascend into the hill of the Lord. When we sin, we exchange, we get clothed, and we have a right to come down. And he says, there's a generation that walks up and down in his name. When you walk up and down, that means you approach the enemy. He's under your feet when you start. If I deal with the enemy now when I'm in his stuff, I'm not going to be near as effective. I escape like Moses did. There's so much imagery in the Word of God. In the battle of Rephidim, Moses left the battle. Moses left and went up in the mountain. God told him, leave this battle right now. There are going to be times you got to leave a battle to win. You leave it. And he went up in the mountain, he lifted up his hands, and you remember that he had his hands up? Joshua was like the faith. That was faith operating on his behalf. He was discomfiting the enemy as long as the hands were raised, because Moses was in a position with God. That's a mountain position to win. Sometimes you gotta get out to get in. Amen? So now we walk up and down, but when you come back, you're dealing with the enemy from a different standpoint. And you are sanctioned to do this over your house. You're sanctioned to do it over your children. You've been sanctioned to do it over your business. You've been sanctioned to do it over the church. You can do it in things God's called you. You don't even have to ask. But that doesn't mean you need to go pick a fight with a devil somewhere or a strong man that you're not sanctioned yet to deal with. But there's enough to do with your own home. Especially when you know where God's taking you. Get ready. Get ready, because the enemy, when you invade his territory, he's not going to sit back and take that. Especially what we're about to invade him with. Whew. I know what we're about to do. We're about to stamp out some serious stuff. We're already doing it in the spirit, and I already know I know him enough. So I'm already building things around my children. I'm building. The devil can't touch my children because I keep a hedge around them. And they're not fully where they need to be, but we'll keep that edge around until they do. Praise God. Hedge around the home. Hedge. Hedge. Say hedge. It's built by the David will give you all, more than enough. What's a strong tower? Close your eyes. What does a strong tower look like to you? Just stand in the middle of it. What's a fortress look like to you? Go stand in the middle of it. My shield, what I see, is a whirlwind. A cylinder. My God comes in the whirlwind. A cylinder, whirlwind, wall of fire. Sometimes it's blue. Sometimes it's amber. And it's comprised the ministering flames of God. It's comprised of the chariots of fire and the horsemen. If the chariots are with Elisha, they're with me. Praise God forever. You know how many people, books I've read of people who had angelic encounter? And one of the main themes I've read with people who've had angelic encounters, unless the angels are coming with a message or something, is they're standing around doing nothing, bored. How many of you ever read books and people talk about the angels are sitting there and they're waiting for something? Because angels operate out of faith. You have to operate your faith, and then God sets them in motion on your behalf. And you have no faith going, they'll just stand around. They're sent. They want to get in the fight. You've got a whole army that wants to get in the fight with you. Not with you, they want to get in your fight for you. A whole army. It's according to your faith. When Jesus said, can I not call upon my Father 12 legions of angels? That gives me a right to call on 12 legions. That gives me a right to see 12 legions. A lot of angels. That's 72,000 angels. That's probably enough to build. And then Jacob saw them ascending and descending. Say ascending and descending. He said, this must be the house of God. They opened to heaven. And Jesus had that same operation because he told Nathaniel, he goes, today you'll see the angels ascending. He was seeing the Jacob ladder operation, house from heaven, open heaven, angels moving up and down, up and down, up and down. If they're moving up and down, you're in good shape. If they're surrounding you, you're in good shape. If they're moving up, down, down, what they're doing is clearing out the second heaven. It's a demarcation. That's what God did at Jericho. When he came out, he said, no, I'm the Lord of hosts. I'm the Lord of the angelic armies of heaven. Where do you think the angelic armies of heaven were? They were already surrounding Jericho. God had already intended those walls to fall. He came out as the Lord of the angelic armies of heaven. An army came out to do the work. So he gives Joshua, you're going to walk around it seven times. They're going to do the work. There's an army that will work for us. But you're going to have to get your faith in gear and start seeing them. When I see them as a whirlwind of fire, I see them coming out from the heavens. I see many classes of them. I see the chariots of fire. I see the ministering flames. I see the breakers. Say the breakers. It's just not fair that Tina has a breaker angel with her when she ministers. I'm like, I want that too. That's a breaker. They come with her. They come with the anointing on her life. Poosh. They break things. That's what she does. They're called the breakers. You can read about them. The warriors. Say the warriors. The warriors. God, see the warriors coming out. The cherubim. Say the cherubim. What do the cherubim do? They bring the glory right out of the throne and fill the... Whenever you're in a awesome service and the whole service fills up with the glory of God, you can know the cherubim have come in. They're coming straight out of the throne and the presence of the... And they bring that presence. They start doing this stuff right here. And they bring that presence in. It fills. See, no, you don't see them. They're there. They're bringing that stuff in. Praise God. Amen. Then I see there's another class too, the hornets. Do you know there's a class of angels called the hornets? God said, I'm going to send, because he told him, he goes, I'm not going with you. I'll just send my angels. They'll be enough. He did say the father, he was kind of, you know, he had it ticked off. It's a good word. He said, listen, I'm going to fulfill my word with you. I'll send my hornets. They'll do it, but I'm not going with you. And Moses, no, you got to go too. Because Moses knew the glory. But God said my angels could do the job. He was saying they'll do the same job. And he says, no, but we want you with us too. But there are a class of angels that get the job done. The hornets, they go in front. What does a hornet do? You ever stood in front of a hornet? I don't care how big you are, how tough you are, how strong you are. A hornet starts buzzing around your face. You're going to get away. You ever seen somebody poke a hornet's nest online? Go Google that and watch what happens. Because the hornets will put some serious pain on your life. God, has some hornets and it can put some serious pain on the enemy. But we have to start engaging this realm. And we do it by seeing. I see a house. My house is a cylinder house. It's stretched from heaven to earth. I see it as a wall of fire comprised of angels. And I speak and I see my God comes with chariots of fire. Ministering flames do swirl. I see them swirl around me. I see the warriors walking up and down. I see the hornets have come out and they sit out in front. I see the flames, the ministering flames of fire. The breakers have come out. I see. There's also another class the Lord told me, the sweepers. I don't know, you can do it, but he told me, I like it, it works. He said, they come and they sweep. They cleanse. The sweeper's coming out. If you don't like it, it's fine. I don't have scripture for it, so, you know, don't throw your prophet rock at me, but whatever. You know, so they come out. But I have scripture for most everything I do, so that little 1% of 1% of 1%, you know, get over it if you have a problem with it. So anyway, they come out, hornets going out, and then the cherubim. I feel the glory when they come in. What am I doing? I'm building an atmosphere here. I'm actually building a house. We're building it here. Building an infrastructure. Not made with hands. Not seen with a natural eye. But the more you do it, the more you speak into it, the more you're aware of it, you'll start seeing it. Not with these eyes. Your eye of your faith will get really brilliant and you'll be very much aware they're with you. I don't need to see them to know they're with me. This is not about having an angelic encounter and go, ooh, an angel showed up. Listen, I know a lot of prophets that had angelic encounter. It's not going to make you any closer. They're there to help you and they come. But listen, I would rather just, instead of waiting on some visitation of angels so I can ooh and ah, I would rather just know they're with me, their function. They're ministering flames of fire. I don't want to get off looking at angels anyway. I'm looking at the Lord. But they're my army. They're his army, but they've been assigned to me. Because what did he say about, are they not ministering flames sent to minister on the behalf of heirs? There's a whole class of angels that minister to the heirs. That means you got to be an heir before they even show up. That means you got to know who you are. There's some that minister babies. Every one of you get one when you're born again. They're there to watch over you. They're angels to watch over your life because you're a babe. There's another class that doesn't deal with that. They don't go to the nursery. They're not called to God's nursery. Look, Michael and Gabriel, they're not going to show up to God's nursery. They are on bigger missions. Amen? But there is another class, the ministering flames. They're sent to minister on the heirs. And when you grow up, they'll be with you if you know how to call upon them. Don't call, I mean, you want to call up them in your time of trouble, definitely, but learn to know they're with you. See, I'm aware and I practice the awareness and I speak the awareness because they're building a house made without hands, a house eternal coming down. What is a house? It shields you from the elements. If I build that house, it's going to shield me when I need it the most. When the enemy brings rain, bring the rain. I've got a house. I got a wall of fire around me. Hallelujah. It's around my children, around our home. So if the enemy's really dealing with your mind, first thing you got to do is absolutely surrender, but start building a shield around your mind. The mind of Christ. You're the glory, the lifter, my head, my exceeding. You've got to start ascribing to God. Exceeding great shield. You clothe me with a white turban. I have the mind of Christ. You're my shield, my buckler, and see a fortress. I can feel it right now that surrounds you. You'll feel the peace of God. This morning, the honey was coming through the plumb line. It was awesome this morning. Woo! And so as you build that, what you see, what you say, and the scriptures, you get the scriptures. Meditate, Elisha sitting on a mountain and chariots covering the whole mountain. Those are your chariots. Instead, we're looking at the enemy that's approaching, and Elisha was not even concerned about. A whole army came at him. See, an army came at one man. He didn't lift the shield. He didn't have guns. I like guns too, but anyway, I'm not where he is yet. I have guns. I pull them out every once in a while. Roscoe goes crazy. I have this little Mossberg I bring out. It's got a green light on it, and I bring it. He absolutely goes nutso. But he knows, oh, hey, Roscoe, I point to the cabinet. And he's like, he wants me to bring that thing out. It's okay to have guns, too. Praise God. Amen. Let the angels deal with what the angels deal with, and let the guns deal with what they need to deal with. Amen. But as we build, the more we build, I want to get to where the Lord was. Or Elisha, I think those same 12 legions that the Lord said I could call, they were with Elisha. Why were so many with one man? Because what he was doing, he was the voice, he was the mouthpiece, he was the light, he was the candle over the whole nation at that time. So the more you get in the glory, the more God will give you. He's building it around you. See it come around your children. See the flame of fire. See heaven moving up and down and say, I am part of the last generation where the sons of God walk up and down in your name, where a small one becomes a thousand, a strong one becomes a whole nation. You're with me in this day. Even like David. Hide me under the shelter of your wings. He could see. Like that mama squirrel boy, she was watching me. She trusts me, but she was like, you're getting close to my baby boy. Don't make me get my teeth out. But it's that protective nature of God to surround you and be hidden. You need to feel that. You need to see. Stop just praying from your head all the time, being mechanical. Get a little poetry about you. I mean, that's what made David so awesome. He was poetic. I mean, he felt. He had poetry. He could feel it, see it, say it, touch it. That's the way you believe. If you're going to learn to believe, then learn to believe. Be poetic about it. My God is an exceeding great and precious shield. The angels surround me this day. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you like to join my church? That's cranially. There's other words for that too, but that's the, you gotta get out of this guy. This one gets you in trouble. Get in here. Get in the realm of the heart. Pray from the realm of the heart. Get in touch with your feelings. And Anna was saying, man, I'm learning to see. There was parts of me who were shut down, but God's opening now. I'm opening that realm. And Cody gave her a message from my library that I don't even know about. He said, go to this one. Cody knows exactly where to go. He goes, this will be perfect because this would open me up. See, you have to be open to see. The way you see is you get revelation. You get revelation from his word. I remember my spiritual father, I would listen to his tapes. I'd be a midnight security guard. I would listen to something six times before I actually heard what he was saying. Now it's like this normal thing, but the light didn't come on until like the sixth time around, then boom, the light came on. I'm like, oh, I see it. And I'm telling you, face of God's the final frontier. You won't see that whole thing. Anna was just telling me too. She was saying, you know, there's this time because we were going through so much. She goes, you would preach. I was right here present, but God's having her come back and start listening to us. She goes, wow, that's a really good teaching. I'm like, woo, hallelujah. But she's hearing it in the spirit. You don't always hear it the first time. But when you can hear it and see it and then start implementing it, I'll tell you the way. You get rid of the dullness of God. You've got to employ your faith and get it moving on a daily basis. And when you get it moving on a daily basis, what happens is you'll get rid of that dullness and you'll start awakening your spirit away and you'll see what I'm talking about with this eye of this heart. And then pray every day, God grant me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The eye of my heart be flooded with light. Do you not hear me pray that almost every single time we pray? I pray that prayer every single time. I pray for dunamis, and I pray for spirit of wisdom and revelation to flood the eye of my heart. What was the first thing he did when we walked through the other day, this whole Jordan encounter, we got into Gilgal, what's the first thing he did? He circumcised them. What was that about? Well, it's cutting away the flesh, but he circumcised the eye of your heart. He's got to give you something new to look at. What does he want you to look at? Promised land. What does he want to look at? The shield of the promised land will shield you from the enemy. I've been in both places. And I can tell you, I like the shield a lot better. I like to be prepared when the enemy comes knocking at my door. Because if I'm not, he's going to send me down a 6-month road. It's going to take 6 months to get back. When I'm prepared, I can deal with it in 3 to 7 days. If I'm not prepared, it takes months to get back. And where you're walking, where we're walking, we can't lose the places. It's too hard to get. It's too hard to get to where you are to go lose it. How many of you have done that? You gained ground with the enemy and he blew you off course and it took you 6 months, sometime a year to get back where you were. When you do that enough, you're going to do one or two things. You're going to quit the whole thing and say, man, I don't care about anything you're talking about. Or you're going to get on fire and you're going to, when you gain ground, you're going to keep that ground because you know what it took to get it. It's expensive. Real estate we're walking in right now in the spirit. There's serious rewards with it though. And we've got to keep what we have. And one of the things the Lord said, son, you're about to invade the enemy's camp. I mean, the seat of mammon. You know how many people I've seen being taken out trying to go after that realm? You're about to go in that. You need my shield more than you know. Don't think because, oh, I'm okay right now. It's not about where you are right now. It's where you're going. You better get ready for where you're going. So he said, the just shall live by faith. Every single one of us should have faith operational every single day. Well, Pastor, we'll let you do the praying. No, 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 it don't work like that. Because I'm not going to be there to shield your enemies for you. There are certain coverings we can provide as pastors, but you have to stand up by Kim's word. When a babe, God will come and do it for you. But when you get up, you got to do it. Amen? We build with the angel. We build with the glory. We build a house. What does a house, and I'm closing it, sometimes we hear the house of God where God's going to come and have it. It's your house too. A house here that shields you from the elements of a spiritual warfare in this earth. Listen, as long as you're in the earth, as long as the enemy has a lease, he's a determined enemy. And he will never stop. So it's important. Who would go out and live without a house? The first thing you would do, what's the most important thing in your life? A house. You have to have a house. A covering. We do it in the natural. Why don't we do it in the spirit? Where we need it the most. Build it in the emotions. Build it in the mind. Build in the body. Build in your home. Build it over your marriage. Build it over your wife. Build it over your children. Build it over your financial infrastructure. You can have the Job anointing. Where a hedge was around your finances and the enemy couldn't touch your blessing, all that he has, and I can't touch it. That was the devil's words. I can't touch it. That's what I want. I want to invade the enemy. I want to walk out with a shield and go like that, shoo fly. Because I went in prepared, knowing if I'm going to go, we all want to go invade the enemy's camp. Ooh. Glory, let's go invade. There's going to be back. Flash from that. You might as well know that. Get ready to get ready. When we walk through that door, I don't know what that means to you, but I know what it meant to me. God's moving us to Jericho next. It's awesome to invade his camp. But we have to be shielded though. Here, let me close with this. Here's some things that will disintegrate your shield in a heartbeat. Unforgiveness. Not just strife. Strife's going to be a normal thing, but continuous strife disintegrates your shield. Bitterness, you won't have a shield if you're bitter. You'll be wide open to the enemy. Fear, these are disintegrators. You have to move out of these realms. If you have unforgiveness, you will have an open door, and the enemy will come right through. Self-protection mechanisms. As long as you're protecting your standing in the place God, and he wants to be your protector. Amen? And there's a lot more, but those are very important ones. But to have a shield around your emotions is hugely important. Otherwise, you're going to be walking around in heaviness, depressed, and the enemy's just going to just rattle your cage. He likes to rattle through the emotions. You got to have a shield around them because there are weird things going on up in there. They can praise God, hallelujah, and the next day go, woe is me. I mean, if Elijah had the problem, I mean, he slayed all those prophets of Baal, and then, 3 days later, he wants to take his life. Those are emotions. You got to get those shielded up, exchanged. Amen. Life is the governor. This is how I shield. Life's the governor of my heart and mind. Oh, Lord, the spirit of life commanded to multiply, swirling around my emotions with joy, peace, and life. Life's the governor. The heart, emotional faculties. I have the mind of Christ, governed in righteousness, life, joy, and peace. You've got to start speaking like that. Amen? Learn to do it if you don't know how to do it. Give some time.
Amen. Isn't that good? It's awesome. So, like, typically, whenever a believer is trying to raise a shield, it's usually after the enemy's already come. So that's why he's telling you to do it now before the enemy comes. So in practicality, what I did when I was beginning my stages in ascending the right hand of God, and that's why I built the beginner course, is I would practice the awareness of the Holy Spirit, because he's with us. The Bible says that he's with us, and if he's with us, he'll be in us. So how would you take that scripture? You take that scripture, thank you, Holy Spirit. You're with me. You surround me as a shield. You're my comforter. You're my teacher. You lead me and you guide me into all truth. And as you begin to speak those words, you can feel, you'll start to feel the awareness of the Holy Spirit come around you. And then he's talking about phase two. He has the angels. He has the plumb line. If you don't know what that is, start there. Start with the Holy Spirit, because that's easy. Those are three or four scriptures in John that you just take those scriptures, you hold them. And then you begin to move up in your ascent. You deal with yourself. And then now once you get clothed in authority and dominion, then you start to realize Psalms 50. What does it say? It says, the Lord comes with fire as a tempestuous whirlwind round about. And as you begin to see that whirlwind going around, the Lord Jesus lives inside of us. And if he said that, Nathaniel, behold, an Israelite in whom there's no guile, you're going to see the heavens open and you're going to see the angels ascend and descend upon the Son of Man. Well, Jesus lives inside of us. So that open heaven is inside of us. You just have to be aware of it and begin saying, I see the angels, Lord, ascending and descending upon me. You are a wall of fire round about me. You are the glory in the midst. And the more you begin to practice that, the more you'll begin to feel the shield around you. And sometimes I'll be driving, just cleaning my pools, and I feel something start to attack my mind, and the anointing will hit me, and I deal with it right there. Because the shield is active, and it's always. So like three or four times a day, I'll have to practice that shield and the awareness of it. But yeah, it's awesome. Glory to God.
So he started this yesterday, and he always gives me like a line, and I have to kind of run with it. But he said, let me in, child. But this morning, he said to start it with, you have not failed me. You have not disappointed me. Let me in, child. You have walled yourself off because of past betrayal and hurt as a defense mechanism. In your mind, hurt equals hiding. Hiding from reality, hiding from the source of your pain and possible reoccurrence, hiding from responsibility because doing nothing is easier than confrontation. You must confront your apathy, your willingness to accept another trip around your mountain. Get up and open the door to let me in. Those same walls you threw up to protect yourself keep you separated from me. And that is a dangerous place to be. I long to be your exceedingly great shield, the lover of your soul, all of your soul. Be not ashamed of your past, child. I have seen it all. I have collected each tear. I have held you in my highest esteem. I am not ashamed of you. I am the one who has breathed life into you. Allow me to do it again. Imagine being free from the circumstances that continually batter you. Embrace the concept that you are marvelous in my sight. Accept that my heart burns for you. For all of this is true and attainable when we walk together. If you can only summon the bravery to crack open your defense, that's enough. I promise to rush in and take it from there. The you we build together is a true masterpiece, one of beauty, one of redemption, and one of mercy. You know, there's a lot of action words here. There's a lot of verbs. You know, when we're babies, he'll come in and do it for you because you don't know how. But when you're a grown-up, mature in the spirit, you have to make that first step. You need to take the step. So this week I pray that you'll take a moment or two or three or hour or whatever it takes to pull down your walls, to at least identify them. If you don't know what they are, ask him. He'll be honest with you. Because a lot of times we think we've taken care of something and we really haven't. So please, it's time for us to grow up. It's time for us to confront, and that is the worst possible thing for me. I do not confront. But I am going to this week.